I'm thankful for what we got in the church today. My heart, my soul, my mind belongs to you because you paid the price for me way back on Calvary. That's why I love you. That's why I lift you up. That's why I praise your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Somebody ought to just give God a round of applause this morning. Somebody ought to give the Lord a round of applause this morning and bless the name of the Lord along with me. I would like for us to consider as a portion of our scripture study this morning, Exodus chapter 20, verse 22 through 26. Exodus chapter 20, look at around verse 22. I'm going to be honest with y'all, I've been as happy as a kid in a candy store since we began this journey on the sanctuary. Amen? I've had the time of my life. So I'm a keep on. If you keep on, I'll keep on. And we all just get there together. Amen? Keep on keeping on. I want you really to digest what is written here in verses 22 through 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. I'm going to talk on a subject this morning. It is entitled, It is Finished. It is Finished. Father God, we need to hear from you today. We've heard from everybody else this week. We've heard from the Democrats, the Republicans. We've heard from actors and entertainers. We've heard from bosses and children. Do you have anything you'd like to tell us? We really would like to hear it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. It is finished. It is finished. Remember, this is what we've been talking about throughout these last several weeks. Everything in the sanctuary was designed to restore the image of God in us. When God created us, he created us in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. Amen? And so when we started off in the presence of God. We made a decision, not God, we made a decision to leave the presence of God. We said, you know what, Lord? If being in your presence means that I can't eat from that tree, then I would rather not be in your presence. You mean to tell me I'm going to go to hell because I eat from a tree? Then I'll just forget it then. And so we made a decision. So we were here. In the very presence of God, we were here. We chose to leave. And so God devised a plan to get us from out here back into there. And so he said, I will make a path. I will make a plan. I will make a system whereby they can go from being out there to getting back in there. So that's why the first place you came in the sanctuary was the altar. And the last place, so the first place you came was to the altar on the outside. The last place you came was back in the very presence of God standing before his throne. When God created us, we were in his presence. Face-to-face communion, face-to-face communication. We left that relationship. Now, God uses the images and the symbols and the services of the sanctuary to illustrate how he intends to get us back where we started. So then, what makes the sanctuary so awesome is that, let's just say somebody from Babylon, I don't know. Let's say one day God was listening to the prayer of a king by the name of Hezekiah. And to prove to Hezekiah that he was going to save his life, God allowed the sun to go backwards. And let's just, hypothetically speaking, let's just say that the people in Babylon were wondering why the sun went backwards and came to Israel so that they could learn what kind of God can make the sun go backwards. Then when the people from Babylon came to Jerusalem and talked to the king, hypothetically speaking, it's Hezekiah. They're talking to King Hezekiah. All Hezekiah would have to do is take them to the temple and walk with them step by step to understand God's plan of salvation. Stick with me now. He could start right here at the altar and explain how the blood had to be spilt. He could then talk about righteousness, holiness, cleansing at the bronze basin. He could then take them on the inside and show them the light of God's glory, the bread of life, the fragrance of Jesus, the intercessory ministry of Jesus mingled with the prayers of the saints. He can explain how God moves us from our vile, wretched place to transforming us into his glorious, holy, sanctified self. How he restores us into his own image. He could have walked them through. Now, as y'all already know, that was not a hypothetical. Hezekiah had that opportunity, and he blew it. When they came, he wanted to show the folk how much gold and silver he had, how much money he had. I got big money. I got cars. I got women. He just all he was talking about. And the folk came there, and the last, they never had a chance to learn about what my Jesus can do. They never had a chance to figure out what my Jesus can do. But he had the opportunity. Hey, listen. This right here is a real-life demonstration about the power of God. And so you can literally take somebody, as we are doing day after day, week after week, as we're doing rather week after week, God is showing us through the symbols of the sanctuary how he makes us holy. And so, we talked about the blood, and we talked about the lamb that was sacrificed. And both of them related to the altar, but we haven't talked about this altar. So how about we do that today? How about we talk about that altar of burnt offering, that bronze altar, as it's sometimes called, Exodus 27. And we're going to just start in verse 1. Exodus 27, we're going to start in verse 1. When you have it, say amen. Exodus 27, and we're going to start in verse 1. And I'm not going to hold you long. You've already, we've done enough now. Exodus 27, start in verse 1. And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. That's approximately 7.5 feet. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. Are you with me now? The height thereof should be, so that's approximately 4.5 feet tall. So the altar is to be about approximately 7.5 feet long in each direction and about 4.5 feet tall. Are you with me now? So the altar would come probably about right here on me. Here we go. Thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof, just like Elder Prochet did with this beautiful demonstration that we have. His horns shall be of the same, and you shall overlay it with brass. Thou shalt make his pans to receive his ashes, and his shovels, and his basins, and his flesh hooks, and his fire pans, all the vessels thereof thou shalt make of brass. And thou shalt make for it a gate of network of brass, and upon the net shall there be 4 brazen rings in the 4 corners thereof. And thou shalt put it under the compass of the altar beneath, that the net may be even to the midst of the altar. And thou shalt make staves for the altar, staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with brass. And the staves shall be put in the rings, and the staves shall be upon the two sides of the altar to bear it. Hollow with boards shalt thou make it, as it was showed thee in the mount, so shall they make it. I want you to get this now. So shall they make it. The bronze altar. Matter of fact, if you can do me a favor, Brother Keith Roy, can you bring the altar and put it right down here at the front? I want everybody to be able to see it. Bring the altar. I'll just put it right down here on the floor so we can work with it. The bronze altar later became known as the altar of burnt offerings. Stick with me now. The bronze altar later became known. Thank you so much. The bronze altar later became known as the altar of burnt offerings. So what was its two names? It was called the bronze altar, and it was also known as the altar of what? The altar of burnt offerings. God told them to make this bronze altar, this altar of burnt offerings, in such a way that it could hold the sacrifices that were to be offered. That's why he said put a mesh over top of it, so that when you put the stuff on top and set it on fire, the ashes can fall down. You remember what he said? He said, all right now. God also told them to make other instruments such as pans and shovels so that they could be used to dispose of the ashes and the snuff, as God called it. And here's the key point I want y'all to get, because we're going to come back to it in just a second. It is the major point, the altar of burnt offerings. It is your major point, so don't miss this. Stay here for just a second. Pay very close attention to what I'm about to tell you. Notice, God intended for the sacrifice to be completely consumed. He says, make me instruments of shovels and trays so that even the ashes can be disposed of. In other words, the sacrifice was to be consumed, even so much so that the ashes were to be discarded. Stick with me now. I'm going somewhere. According to Leviticus chapter 1. Why don't you go there? Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 2 this time. Leviticus chapter 1. On this time, we're going to start in verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel, and I want you to say to them, if any man bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. He's not to be compelled. Don't make him do it. He's got to do it of his own voluntary will. Stick with me now. It says, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be acceptable for him to make what, everybody? To make atonement for him. Put his hands. I thought we talked about that last week, putting your hands on the head of the altar, of the sacrifice, so that it can make atonement for you. But here he goes again, talking that talk one more time. The Bible says he shall put his, verse 4, he shall put his hands upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be acceptable to him to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bullock before the Lord and the priests. Aaron's sons shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offerings and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest, that is Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Did you get that now? According to Leviticus chapter 1, verses 2 through 9, God made it plain that the sacrifice for burnt offerings served as a means of dealing with the sin problem. Stick with me now. The burnt offering served as a means of dealing with the sin problem. Did you catch the instructions that was in verse 4? I read it twice. If you may have missed it, so I'll read it a third time. Look at verse 4 one more time. He shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be acceptable for him to make an atonement for him. He shall put his hands upon the head of the offering, of the burnt offering that is, and it shall be acceptable for him to make atonement for him. Did you get that now? The worshiper, as we discovered last week, had to bring a sacrifice without blemish as his burnt offering to the altar. He had to bring a sacrifice without blemish. And I think that my lamb is still out. There he is. I'll get him for you. He ain't going nowhere. He knew I would have to bring him back out one more time. For $2.99, I'm going to get every penny out of this bad boy. He brings his sacrifice to the Lord. Do I got any saved folk here this morning? Bible says he put his hands upon the head, as we learned last week. That placing of the hands upon the head of the sacrifice was so that the sins could be transferred to the sacrifice. That's where we stopped last week. We stopped where your sins have been transferred. But it doesn't stop there. Your sins are transferred from you to the head of the sacrifice. Then the sacrifice is placed on the altar and burned up. Yes, burned up. Stick with me now. The sacrifice, the worshiper confessed his sins over the head of the burnt offering at the altar. The sacrifice on the altar made atonement for the worshiper. In other words, once the sacrifice was made, the worshiper was reconciled with God. Get this now. Once the sacrifice was made, the worshiper was reconciled with God. Are y'all with me this morning? I've now confessed. What was our sin of choice last week? Lord, I ain't been returning my tithe and offerings. That was our sin of choice last week. And I know that I have no business coming into your presence. I got no business enjoying the fellowship of the saints, both for spiritual and then for practical reasons. I have no business enjoying the air conditioning and the lights because I ain't helped to pay not one dime of the bill. But that's practical. But now for spiritual, I know that my sins have separated between me and my God. Somebody's going to be driving home and they're going to say, oh, that's what the pastor meant. Oh, I see what he's talking about. Practical and then spiritual. Practically, what am I doing sitting up there sucking up all the goodness of the Lord and I ain't helped put 2 cents toward it? But then on a spiritual thing, Lord, I have no business being in your presence. I can't do with the sin myself. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to transfer it to the sacrifice. And so my sins are transferred to the sacrifice. The sacrifice is offered, but we do not stop there. The sacrifice is offered, but we do not stop there. The sacrifice blood is placed on the horns of the altar, but we don't stop there. The blood of the sacrifice is poured around the basin, but we don't stop there. The blood of the sacrifice is sprinkled 7 times before the veil, but we do not stop there. There's one more thing that you've got to do. There's yet one more step in this process of dealing with your sins. Burn it up! I wish I had some saved folk here this morning. Y'all be shouting with me already. See, I know what I'm going to be preaching in just a moment. Y'all don't know what I'm going to. Y'all can't get excited like I'm getting excited. Burn it up! One more thing you've got to do. You've transferred it. You've sprinkled it. You poured the blood out. One more thing. Burn it up. Burn, baby, burn. Somebody ought to say out there. Somebody ought to say amen out there. But why? But why? But why? Why did the offering have to be burnt up and disposed? He didn't just say burn it up, but he says after you finish burning it up, I want you to take the ashes and get them out of there. Whatever's left over, whatever is remaining, if it just so happened that there's some ashes or snuff still floating around, I want you to get that mess and get it up out of there. I want every trace of it removed. So why did the offering have to be burnt up and disposed? As you know, and so I will tell you again, but you already know this, throughout the Bible, fire is a symbol of finality. When you burn something up, you can't get it back. You can break something and you can glue it back together. But once you burn that bad boy, there's nothing you can do with it. It is final. It is gone. It is done. It is finished. Y'all get where I'm coming from now? Once you burn it up, it's done. It's gone. It's over with. It is finished. Throughout the Bible, fire is a symbol of finality. We are done with this thing. We are done with this thing. That's why Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 10, listen. The priest shall then put on his fine linen clothes with linen undergarments next to his body and shall remove the ashes of the burnt offering that the fire has consumed, on the altar, and place them beside the altar. He is not only to burn it up, but get rid of the ashes. What ashes? The ashes that the fire has consumed. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 8, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about that beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Symbol is finality. When you put some fire to it, that's final. When I was growing up, every now and again, they had to put a little fire to my hips. Not too often. As y'all know, Pastor Davis didn't get in much trouble. Y'all knows I had to move from the pulpit because I didn't want to get struck by lightning. I can't even tell that lie with a straight face. Pastor Davis, every now and again, had to get a little heat applied to the stove of his rear end. And when they set a little fire on that rear end, that was final now. We've done talking all the talk we're going to talk. We're done talking about it. We're done discussing it. We're done pleading with you. We've done reasoning with you. Now it's time to put a little fire. It is finished. It is done. It is over with. It is time to put that behind us. It's time to put a little fire on them. And I don't know, were y'all like me? When I used to get a little fire put to me, especially if I got a real good whooping, I would go and take a nap. And man, that'd be the best nap that I've ever had in my life. Ella Jones used to go take naps after you got a good whooping. Man, man, you wake up, man, and you'd be like, wow, man, how long was I asleep? It's over now. I've done all the talking I'm going to do. I done said all I'm going to say. Now it's over with. It's final. It's consumed. It's burned up. When someone, listen now. When someone saw their sacrifice consumed with fire, it put a mental picture in their minds that this thing was finally over with. Help me, Jesus. So here I am, one more time. Lord, you know I'm a sinner. As a matter of fact, let me just take a moment and tell you all the stuff that I've done. Lord, I haven't been faithful with my tithes and offerings. But if I'm going to be honest with you, Lord, my thoughts haven't been pure either. And Lord, while we're here and I'm sitting here, the priest is standing by and he's saying, boy, that guy, brother, you know, we got other folks standing behind you. You're going to be up there all day. But I got a whole lot of stuff that I got to talk about. And so I'm standing there confessing my sins before God, transferring them to the head of the sacrifice. Then the sacrifice, sitting there in my arms, the sacrifice is then slaughtered. It looks me in my eyes saying, why would you do this to me? I didn't do anything. A sacrifice without blemish, but I'm not done yet. My sins have been transferred. The blood has been poured. There's one more step. Burn it up. And as the fire kindles and the smoke ascends, the mental picture that's placed in my mind as I'm looking at that thing burn is that, you know what? It's finally over with. It's finally over with. It's done. Sometimes in churches, we take the various prayer requests that we've been collecting all year. We got so many prayer requests. I think we need to do it here at Berean. But they have special prayer service. And all the prayer requests that have been brought. And then they take it, they put them inside. I don't know if y'all ever been to one of these. And they'll have like a little bonfire. And they'll burn all the prayer requests. There's no special power. Nothing magical is going to happen. Because it's just a symbol. Everything in the sanctuary was a symbol. It symbolized what God is doing. Listen to me closely now. And so when you burn up the prayer request, it's saying, okay, God, it's over with. We put it before your throne. It's now time for you to take control of it. We're going to burn it up. It's over. On our end, it's over with. On our end, we've already laid it before your throne. We've already petitioned you. You've already made up your mind what you're going to do with it. From our perspective, it is over with. I'm watching that thing go up in fire. That thing that is now bearing my sins in its flesh. And it's being burned up. And the picture in my mind is, glory to God, it's finally over with. Since it was a sin offering, the message they received was that the guilt, that the shame, and that the torment of their sin was finally over with. The embarrassment of having to bring an innocent lamb down to the sanctuary is over with. The guilt of knowing what you've done, who you've done it with, or who you've done it to. Sometimes who you've done it with and who you've done it to. It's over with. It has been consumed in the fire, burned up. Glory to God, it is over with. Oh, it is Jesus. Sweet Jesus, it is Jesus in my soul. I see why the old songwriter says something about the name of Jesus. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. But when it comes to Jesus, there's just something about that name. Stick with me now. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the sins of the world was transferred to Jesus. I want you to understand this. I want you to understand this now. The reason that Jesus was so overwhelmed is because in the Garden of Gethsemane, our guilt was transferred to him. Help me, Jesus. Our guilt was transferred to him. But it did not stop there. Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, was laid on the altar, and his flesh was pierced. The Lord just opened my eyes. They had to put a crown of thorn upon his head. The sinner had to place his hands on the head of the sacrifice. Good Lord, have mercy. Transfer had to take place. God. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is a God like our God? And so the sacrifice was laid on the altar. His flesh was pierced. The blood was placed on the four corners of the altar. On the four corners of the altar. With Jesus, I see the cross. I see the altar. With Jesus, I see the sacrifice, his broken body. With Jesus, I see the blood poured at Calvary's mountain. But where is the fire? Where's the fire? It was the opposite question that Isaac asked Abraham. He said, Daddy, I see the wood. I see the fire. But where is the sacrifice? My question is a little bit opposite. I see the wood. And I see the sacrifice, but where is the fire? On the cross of Calvary. on the cross of Calvary, Jesus declared what the fire symbolized. Get this now. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus declared what the fire symbolized. So, John chapter 19, verse 30. So, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Yes! When he received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. The burnt offering told the people in the Old Testament what I'm going to tell you today. What Jesus told us on the cross of Calvary. It is over. It is complete. It is finished. They don't need to set them on fire. We can see it with our own eyes. Type meets anti-type. In order to get the folk to understand that it was over with, they had to set the thing on fire. Because the lamb himself, being but a dumb animal, could not say it's over with. So they had to use some kind of symbolism to make that point across. But Jesus, being the Son of Man and the Son of God, was able to declare, "It is finished." What the fire did in the Old Testament, Jesus said in the New Testament, "It is finished." And so the sacrifice, which became sin for the people, he became sin for us who knew no sin. He himself bore our sins in his body upon the tree. He became sin for us. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The sacrifice which became sin for the people was consumed, and only the lifeblood went into the presence of God. The sacrifice was consumed, and only the blood, which is the life, was then taken into the presence of God. Help me, Jesus. Too many people are discouraged. Too many people are guilt-ridden. Too many people are depressed. Too many people are still carrying the burden of guilt for sins in their past. But I want to let you know, my friends, that before you can go to the next stage of your Christian life and begin to become like Jesus, you have to leave your sin and its guilt at the altar. Somebody today needs to take some time to burn it up. We're still lingering around the altar. Oh, Lord, this is what we've been doing. We've been doing this our entire life. Oh, Lord, I'm a sinner. Oh, Lord, I messed up. Oh, Lord, I'm too weak. And the lamb has been sitting in our hands for years. We've been hanging on the outside for years. And God wants to bring us inside the veil with Jesus. We've been piddling around out here for years and years and years, carrying the guilt, always confessing, always agonizing, always bearing the guilt and the shame and the burden, never able to move on. But you cannot, listen to me now. You cannot in the Old Testament sanctuary, nor in your New Testament life. You cannot in the Old Testament sanctuary, nor in your New Testament life. You can never get into here where God begins to change your character. And you can never, ever get into here until you burn it up. at some point, you've got to lift your hands and say, Jesus, it is finished. Oh, I remember when you used to do something, it's finished. I remember when we used to be hanging, it is finished. You remember that time you did this to me? You know what? I've apologized to you already, and I've apologized to God. It is finished. Don't let folk continue to hold stuff over your head. Now, some of us have never apologized to people for the stuff we've done. We've never made an atonement for our sins. But once you have apologized, once you have sought reconciliation, at some point, you've got to burn that thing up. At some point, the words of Jesus have to become real in your life. It is finished. Before you can go to the next stage of your Christian life and begin to become like Jesus, you have to leave your sin and its guilt at the altar. I came here today to tell somebody it has been burned up. As the music begins to play, it has been disposed of. It has been thrown away. It is finished. I came here to tell somebody it is finished. But preacher, you don't know the stuff I've done. It is finished. But preacher, you don't understand the mess of my life that I've made. It is finished. But preacher, you don't understand the way that I've embarrassed myself and my God. It is finished. Have you placed your hands on the head of Jesus? Have you confessed your sins? Well, then he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is finished. That's one thing that my Jesus does. That's one thing that my Jesus does. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Play that song for me. That's one thing that my Jesus does. He burns it up. He cast it into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered anymore. It's burnt up. It's consumed. It's done away with. And even if there are some ashes of my sins that might just be lingering around, my Jesus makes shovels, and he makes trays, and he makes bowls so that he can take my ashes and get rid of them so that nothing in my past lingers over my head. Nothing in my life can hold me down. Nothing can pull me back. I have been lifted by Jesus. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters, he lifted me. Now safe am I. My friends, it's time to move past the guilt of your past. It's time to move beyond the sins that are holding you back. It's time to move beyond your previous failures, wasted opportunities, missed moments. It's time to move. God has burned them up. Or maybe Jesus said it best. It is finished. It is finished. But you're a liar. It is finished. But you're a whoremonger. It is finished. But you're a thief. It is finished. But you're a backslider. It is finished. But you're a good for nothing, low down dope fiend. It is finished. But you're an idolater. It is finished. But you're a murderer. It is finished. I hear the voice of Jesus saying, it is finished. It's time to move beyond the sins of my past, so that I can get clean, perfected, so that I can stand before my Savior. It's time to put it up, y'all. It's time to put it up, y'all. Sing that song for me. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Sing this. Oh, gentle.